And this is part three, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the subtitle is the gift of prophecy and women in ministry. The gift of prophecy and women in ministry. And I encourage you to, you know, to take notes too. Amen. All the tapes will be available as well. Praise God. The word of God is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God tells us that in the book of Hebrews. And the last several weeks ago, we were looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at the word of wisdom, some, and we looked also at the word of knowledge. How many remember that? Amen. These are revelation gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are revelational gifts, praise God. And the revelational gifts are seen active primarily in the prophets of God. We're going to look briefly to the Word of God and see that, but they can also flow through this body of Christ. Now, God wants them to flow through the body of Christ, all the gifts. Amen. Hallelujah. But you've got to be open to receive what God's word says. You know, here we say if God's word says it, that settles it. And you all know I don't just tell you the word or preach or teach the word. I show it to you in the word of God. Amen. Praise God. So you can have that, you know, additional confirmation. As a matter of fact, we encourage you to read the word for yourself. Praise God. So if anybody needs a Bible, you know, please share with them. We have extra Bibles in the back. Amen. Praise God. We've learned that the word of wisdom always refers to the future. Everybody remember that? The word of wisdom is future, or the gift of the word of wisdom. The gift of the word of knowledge is either past or present. Let me hear you say that. Past or present. It's the gift of the word of knowledge when it is in operation. Amen. We looked at some examples, and some of these are going to be different today, but in looking at the word of knowledge, we saw Elijah. And most of you know the story about Elijah, how the Syrian captain came and he had leprosy. And he came to Elijah to heal him, and he was healed. And the man was so grateful that he wanted to give Elijah gifts. And Elijah said, no, I don't want your gifts. Well, Elijah's servant, whose name was Gehazi, heard everything that was going on. And so he followed the Naaman, who was the captain of this army. And he told him, he said, my master, give me these gifts. So he took the gifts. Now, the gift of the word of knowledge was in operation in Elijah. The gifts can operate in different ways. You know, we can't put God in a box and never should try to. And so in this particular instance, what happened was Elijah's spirit actually went and saw everything that took place. Isn't God awesome? Amen. So he saw his servant going and taking these gifts from Naaman, and he had already told him that he didn't want them. And then he came back and he questioned him about it. And he said, and he lied. And he said, well, my spirit went with you. And we know that, that leprosy came on him as a result of what he did and also as a result of his lying. But that was the gift of the word of knowledge in operation. What gift was it? Knowledge. Remember, knowledge is either something that has happened in the past or the present that you don't know naturally. It's a mystery, and God is the one that reveals it. So it's a portion of the knowledge of God that he allows to come to a particular individual. Amen. Praise God. Another example is Jesus with the woman at the well. And most of you know that story. And how this woman was at the well, and Jesus told her, you know, had you asked me, I would have given you water that you know not of. And he began to tell her about her life. And he said, where's your husband? She said, I have no husband. And she said, when he said, well, you know, you say rightly, because the one you're living right now is not your husband. In other words, she was living in adultery. And she had had five husbands before. That was the word of knowledge in operation. Amen? Because that was the present. That was what was going on in her life then, the man that she was living with, as well as the previous husbands that she had. So word of knowledge is past and present. Amen. Praise God. We looked at another example is Cornelius, and we're going to turn to this scripture. Praise God. Now, Cornelius was a very devout man. He loved God. We talked a little bit about this last week. We weren't on the gifts of the Spirit, but we're talking about something else. And you know that with Cornelius, you know, that God was well pleased with him, but he was lacking something, and he just didn't know what that thing was he was lacking. He had a relationship with God, very intimate relationship with God, and he was praying and fasting, and an angel came to him. And here we see the gift of the word of knowledge in operation again. This is a present activity. And the angel told him, he said, now, Cornelius, I want you to send to Peter. He didn't know where Peter was. He said, and he even told him where Peter lived. So that was the gift of the word of knowledge and operation. And he said, when he comes to you, then he's going to tell you what to do. And you know the story how Peter came, he obeyed, and when he came, he let him know, you know, as he was preaching to him, what he needed, what he was lacking, wasn't that he wasn't saved, but he didn't have the baptism with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And when he received that, then he received the additional power that he needed to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Now, keep in mind, this is years later after the Holy Spirit's been given out and Jesus has ascended back to heaven. So you know that speaking in tongues and the gift of the Holy Spirit, those things have not been done away with because we see them throughout the Word of God. And God says that they are for today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to turn quickly in your Bibles because I want you to see it. If you want, you can write this down. You don't have to turn there. Praise God. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 20 to 27, you can see the scripture about Naaman and Gehazi. And that was the gift of knowledge in operation. But I do want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Amen. And when you found it, can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're not going to read it all, but I encourage you to read it all, you know, at home in your time. But we're going to just look quickly at verses 3 through 5. Acts chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. This is talking about Cornelius. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine arms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so he did that. And we know that if you continue reading that not only him, but his whole household received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then Peter said, well, you know, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Can anybody forbid them water baptism? So then they were water baptized. Amen. Remember that from last week? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to share briefly how some of the gifts have operated in my life, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And I could give you many, many examples, but I'll give you some that maybe you can relate to. Some of you were with us last summer or last year when we went to church to minister, and I was ministering prophetically after the message was preached, and there was one particular lady that was pregnant. Now, I did not know the things that were going on in her life. But God spoke, and I didn't really find out until just recently, really, and spoke to her and told her that he was glad that she had not had an abortion. Now, you know, when God gives the word, he expects me to speak it, or you. Amen? Now, I didn't know she was considering an abortion, but God knew. And he said, you know, tell her, you know, and it was a lot of other things that were said too, but those of you who were there probably remember. But I do remember, you know, he said to tell her that I'm pleased that she didn't have an abortion. Now, we recently, very recently found out, and she told my husband and I, you know, that she was so thankful that she did not have an abortion. And that she was glad, and I'm just paraphrasing, that God had given her that word that he was pleased with her. See, I had that was the gift of the word of knowledge in operation. See, that was something that had happened in the past. God had already, you know, she had already thought about having the abortion. But I didn't know it, but God knew it. And he also evidently knew that she needed a word of encouragement to let her know, you know, that he was pleased, possibly maybe so she wouldn't do it later on. Now, the reason she was considering an abortion was because, and we found this out later too, was that she had a gene problem, and the doctors had told her that the baby was going to die. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but at any rate, the baby did die. And she and her husband, I'm not even sure if they were together then, but they were really having a really bad time in their marriage. You know, we had a chance to talk later on to both she and the husband. To make a long story short, as a result, she said, of, you know, things that had happened and they went through, it brought them together and not apart. And the husband was, you know, even though they had lost his dear little baby, not lost because the baby's in heaven, and they keep their hands in God's hands, they're going to see that baby one day. But even though it was a sorrowful and a very difficult thing for them, both of them were testifying, you know, how they had come, you know, closer, walk with the Lord, closer to one another, and how so many people had lives had been touched, and even some, you know, had become born again. So I share that to share, you know, how the word of knowledge can operate. Amen. You know, and now, you know, what they need, and I'm praying to God will open a door for us to, you know, to minister to them, you know, because nothing's too hard for God. Absolutely nothing is to start standing on the word of God and believing for that situation to change if they desire to have other children. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I shared with you about a while ago about the lady that doctors had said that she would never have children again because of some wrong choices that she had made, and how ministering to her that God healed her womb and she was able to have children. So nothing's too hard for God. Amen. Absolutely nothing. Amen. To God be the glory. Now, that was the word of wisdom given to her. That was future. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. A number of years ago, our younger son, who is Matthew, I was thinking about, it came to me this morning, I'm going to share it, to show you how the gifts can operate. We saw how with Cornelius, an angel came, right? The word can come with an inward speaking into your spirit, or it can be an audible voice. Very seldom is it audible where you hear it. Very, very seldom. We were going somewhere, I don't remember what exact campground. We used to be go camping, and most of you all know that he has a little dog named Spotty. Well, Spotty was young then, and we were going, and I had this horrible pain in my thigh. I think it was the right thigh. I don't remember which thigh. And while my husband was driving, and I was telling him, you know, because I was praying in the spirit, he said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I've got this terrible pain in my thigh." And, you know, and I was praying, and, you know, he asked me a couple times, "What's wrong?" I said, "I've got this pain." And it was like an injury pain. You know, it wasn't like a burning or something. It was like if you injure yourself. Well, you know, so I just kept praying in the spirit, and it did not leave. We pulled into a rest stop, you know, where they have restrooms and something to eat. Well, the back of the truck, you all remember that truck? The needed skin. Praise God. Opened up. I don't know if my husband, I guess he must have opened it up. And Spotty jumped out the back of the truck. And, you know, trailer was on the back of it. Well, Matthew was with Spotty, and there was a tractor trailer, you know, that blew its horn really, really loud. And, you know, it must have scared him. But at any rate, he injured his thigh in the exact place where I was having the pain. Exact place. And it was injured really, really bad, you know, because he was trying to get to the dog to save her from getting run over. Well, I realized afterwards that you know, that I, as I was praying and I was having that pain, I was actually praying for him. I share that with you because sometimes that's just another way that the gifts can operate. And sometimes you may be feeling something, and it's not even you. It's somebody else. And so, and when I ministered to him, you know, when he got back in, because it was ripped all up, you know, it just healed just beautifully. So I'm saying God's a supernatural God. Amen? And nothing's too hard for him. You know, so you don't just pass something off, but you do what you know to do. Amen? Now, I would not have known how to pray in my understanding. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, God gives the gifts of speaking in tongues. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. That's what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8. But the Holy Spirit intercedes and prays the perfect will of the Father. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so that God wants us to use these gifts that he's given to us. And we're talking about the gift of prophecy today. And the reason I'm reviewing gift of word of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, is because those gifts operate primarily in a prophet. But they can flow through from time to time through the body of Christ. And God wants them to. And they don't just, you know, come the same way all the time. Prophecy, which we're going to be looking at today, the Word of God says that it's for edification, which means to build up, three reasons. Exhortation, which is to encourage, and comfort, which brings healing. Healing to somebody, you know, has a sorrowful heart. Healing to a person, maybe they feel persecuted. It can bring consolation. It's not pity, but it's a type of consoling that you bring to the person. And so God wants the gift of prophecy to flow through every single person. And God says it's for every believer. Amen. We're going to see that in the Word of God. Amen. So, you know, when you feel a word that, you know, of comfort or encouragement or, you know, something you can build somebody, share that with that person. You never know what they're going through. Amen. But God does. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14 in your Bibles. When you found it, I hear you say amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But he that prophesied, say prophesied. I'm in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men. We're speaking to men. When you prophesy, you're speaking to men. To edification, say edification. Edification. And exhortation. Edification. And comfort. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. We're in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men. These are the reasons why. Three reasons. To edification, and exhortation, and comfort. Those are the three reasons. Amen. And that is a simple gift of prophecy, and God wants everybody to flow in it. Amen. It's for the body of Christ. And because a person flows in that does not mean that they are a prophet. A prophet, as I said, will flow in these gifts, but person that's a prophet will also flow in the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge. Amen. And not only that, as a prophet, there are times that God will have a prophet to bring direction and correction. Amen. But that's not for the body. That's, you know, as God deals in flowing through the prophet gift, the office of a prophet. Amen. And God wants his entire body to use the gift of prophesying or to flow in that gift. Amen. And we see different ones that flowed in the gifts, moved in the gift of prophecy. And just to name a few, Noah. Noah was a prophet. And so he moved in the gift of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. He also had to have moved in the gift of exhortation, edification, and comfort. Amen? You say, well, why do you say he was a prophet? He was a prophet because God let him know certain things. He knew that the flood was coming for many, many years. He warned the people, but they didn't believe him, of the coming judgment. Amen? And God even revealed to him the exact day of the flood. Amen? Hallelujah, the exact day of the flood. Amen. And that's in the book of Genesis. Praise God. Also, other prophets such as Jeremiah, Isaiah, Deborah, and others, all the prophets really moved in all these gifts. Amen. And certainly Jesus Christ. And we're not going to turn to the scripture, but most of you know, to give an example, in Matthew 24. Those, you know, that's Jesus giving the word of wisdom. Why is it the word of wisdom when he's talking about the things that are going to come on the earth before he comes? And the people say, you know, when, how do we know when you're coming? And Jesus gives them all of these signs. That's the future. So that's what gift in operation. Wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom. Amen. Praise God. When he spoke the Beatitudes, talking about Jesus, he was doing what? He was encouraging. He was comforting. He was edifying. He was prophesying. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Same thing with Peter, with Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, he was telling them what was going to happen. And it happened. Amen? Praise God. He let them know what they had done. That was word of knowledge. And then he told them what was going to happen. And it happened. Let me say this, because we're going to be talking about personal prophecies too. But many times when a word of a prophecy, a word of wisdom, say a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge goes forth, it does not come to pass right away. It does not come to pass right away. And the enemy wants that individual to give up because they don't see it immediately. Most times. Sometimes it is immediate. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so God, you know, he doesn't want his people ignorant, but he wants his people to know so that when you get a prophetic word, if you've already received a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge from a true prophet of God, then he wants you to believe it and stand on that and know that it will come to pass. But it should always bear witness with your spirit. Always bear witness with your spirit. If it doesn't, just throw it away. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You might have someone come and, you know, say something like, I see you. You have a whole chain of restaurants that you own that you're managing. Now, if you get a prophecy, and this, you know, if somebody gets a prophecy like that, then that should be something that they already have been dreaming about or believing God for, or God has already personally spoken to them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You might get a prophecy like something like, well, I see you preparing food, and you're a wonderful cook, and I see you with a great income from this business. Then, you know, you should that should already bear witness. You shouldn't be somebody who can't cook. For the most part, amen, certainly you could take courses and learn, but you should already be able to cook and have some love or enjoyment in doing that, and already should bear witness. Now, what happens is the enemy will try to come and take that word. You know, when the word goes forth immediately, for the word's sake, he will come and steal that word out of a person's heart. Amen? But you've got to make up your mind, if it bears witness with you, to not let him take it. The same thing with sickness and disease. Maybe you have been diagnosed with a terminal disease. There's no cure. And a person may come and tell you, you know, that you maybe you know it, maybe you don't know it. You may find out later on. But if a true prophetess or prophet of God comes and tells you that, then you know it's true. And many times, you know, he'll even send confirmation and let you know the same thing. But the thing is, God gives that, whatever the word is, so that person can get the victory. Most times he'll give them a chance to, you know, to stand on the word, to believe for the victory. And you may even have somebody and tell you, well, you know, but you have this, this, and this, but, you know, I'm going to heal you. You may feel worse before you feel better. And most times you will feel worse. Why? Because the enemy comes for the word. He doesn't want you to stand on the word of God. He wants you to say everything but what he wants you to say. Well, oh, I feel horrible. I'm not getting any better. I'm getting worse. Why? Because he's stolen that word out of your heart. When you get a prophetic word from a true man or woman of God, then you need to be agreeing with that word, finding scripture. Amen? God made sense of my say, like for myself, you know, I've had, God had already spoken it to my heart. He had told me that he was going to make me a very wealthy woman. Then after that, I started getting other prophecies, other true prophets coming, telling me the same thing. And then to Pastor Lewis, been telling him the same thing. Now, in the natural, many times it has not looked like it. But I will not let the enemy take that word out of my heart. You got to pray it. You got to believe it. You got to war with it. Now, if you don't agree with it, then you might as well forget it. If you don't, you might as well say amen. Praise God. You know, so, and then there are things that you and I have to do. You know, I can't stop, Pastor Lewis, I can't stop tithing and being givers. Then that would disqualify us. Amen. Praise God. If you say, for example, with a job, the prophet says, well, you're going to have, you know, I see you doing this and this and this job. And you say, well, I can't do that. You know, I'm just one person. Or, you know, how can, you know, I don't have any help. Then that disqualifies you. If you believe that's the word of God, then you ought to be doing something, even if you have another job. Amen. Praise God. You know, whether it's you're studying, whether you're putting money aside, whether you're, you know, say, for example, if you're going to be, I won't use that because somebody has that job. Okay, say a dress designer. You're going to have all these boutiques. Then, I mean, you're working, maybe doing something else. Maybe you're teaching school. But you know that that's what your heart's desire is. Then you need to be designing those clothes. You need to be maybe picking out patterns and making little miniature outfits. So you're going to be doing something. Amen? You need to be studying and going, you know, going to the library or whatever. Or else, if you don't do your part, then, you know, how is it going to come to pass? Now, God can supernaturally do things, but he expects you and I to do our part. If it spoke to your spirit, if it doesn't speak to your spirit, then throw it away. Amen. So I'm telling you how, when a word comes, that it most times is not immediately manifested. But just because it's not immediately manifested doesn't mean that it's not true. Amen. And there's a part that you and I must play. Can't say, well, I don't have the capital. I don't have the money. I don't have anybody to help me. Because then you let the enemy take that word out of your heart. And that's where you're standing. That's what you're believing on. Instead of, well, Lord, I know I can do all things with you. I thank you, Lord, the Holy Ghost and I, hallelujah, we are a majority. Lord, give me your ideas. Give me your strategy. You know, speak to me, Lord. Show me what my part is, what you want me to do. And then be speaking life over your situation. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, if God said it and that's in our heart, then he's faithful. He's just looking for you and I to do our part. Amen. Praise God. You know, if you received a negative, received a negative report from the enemy and said you got a terminal disease, then maybe something has been passed down to the child. And you got to stand not only for yourself, you got to stand for that child too. You got to make that child speak life over themselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, the enemy, he's going to come and he's going to try and steal that word of wisdom, or that word of a knowledge that was spoken to you. But you don't have to let him. Can you say amen? Praise God. To God be the glory. Amen. Joseph, and most of you know the story about Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph is a very, very good example. Joseph was given, he was, you know, all of these dreams when he was a teenager. And he, you know, God showed him these dreams and gave him the interpretation, how his brothers were going to bow down to him. Now, he didn't fully understand everything, but he knew it was from God. Now, the enemy was upset because just like you get the word comes to you or me, we hear it, but the devil hears it too. His demons hear it too. So what do you think they're going to do? They're going to stand by and let you fulfill God's destiny? No, that's the last thing. They don't want God's people to fulfill destiny. So they're going to do everything they can to get that word out of a believer's heart, to make them start thinking, well, this isn't working out. I don't see how ever. And so that's what happened to Joseph. He shared with his parents. He shared with his brothers. And the enemy was behind his brothers, causing them to want to kill him for the word that had been spoken to him through dreams and visions. And one of them saved him. You know, I believe it was Reuben, said, don't kill him, put him in the pit. But he was sold into slavery. You all know the story and how Potiphar's wife tried to come after him. Every time it seemed like he would get promoted, something worse would happen to him. But the one thing about Joseph, he did not let the devil get the word out of his heart. Nowhere can you find him speaking negative. Nowhere. When the woman Potiphar, he gets promoted to, you know, be in charge of Potiphar's whole house. And then his wife, you know, comes and tries to seduce him and make her have sex with him. And he said, I'm not going to send this great sin against my God. He speaks life and he runs and he winds up in prison for choosing to do what was right. You know, what would the average person want to say? Oh, here I done this. I done trusted my God. And here I am in prison, murmuring, complaining. But no, he still had that dream in his heart of what God showed him. And even though it was years and years and years and years before it was actually manifested, it came to pass. And even when he was in a hard place, even when he was in a place, a wilderness, dry place, even in the prison, he still did what God called him. He was interpreter. He was a person that could interpret dreams. Amen. He didn't just give us, oh, well, I'm not going to interpret any more dreams after all this didn't happen. It didn't come to pass. And look what happened about me being doing what's right. No, he kept on. And even though he interpreted dreams, you know, he was still forgotten about. You know, so that lets you and I know how the enemy works and that God still wants us to be men and women of character. Hallelujah. FVIPs, people of faith, vision, integrity, and pure hearts, and trust and believe him. No matter what, even though you may not be in that job that you see yourself in, trust God and do what's right. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, many times you might have lost things. You might have, you know, you might have had a lot of money and all that money's gone. What are you going to do? Give up on God? Blame God? Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Amen. You may have made some wrong choices. And because of those choices, certain things you've lost or maybe illness has come on your body or whatever. What are you going to do? Murmur and complain? Continue in sin, or are you going to get your life right and stand on God's word? Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. He say amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, you can even look in the word of God, like the woman that was taken in the act of adultery. He said, you know, go and sin no more. Jesus forgave, and the men wanted to stone her. He said, I forgive you. But go and sin no more. Why? So something that works wouldn't come on her. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So see, there's a part that you and I have to do. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And realize that the enemy tries to steal the word. Tries to steal the word so that the prophecy spoken to your heart, so that that word of wisdom and that word of knowledge will not come to pass. Amen. You get a prophecy about, oh, you're going to, you know, you're going through, been going through, you know, I'm going to heal you of thus and thus and thus and thus. And then you get worse. That doesn't mean the prophecy isn't true. It just means that the enemy is coming against you for the word's sake. Amen. Praise God. If you know it's a true man or woman of God, then you stand on that word. Particularly if it agrees with your spirit, what you're believing for. And you know God says that with his stripes, we are healed. Amen? I'm not going to teach on that. But that, you know, like with that, you know, same is true, you know, with everything else. Amen. Praise God. You know, I shared with you all last year about the vision. One of the visions I had, I remember it was a vision or dream, because I have both, about the eagles. Remember that? And then, you remember, I ran across those eagle ink pens. I haven't seen them since. Those that came out on Thursday night, all of you got one, right? Amen. Praise come out on Thursday nights. Amen. Nice eagle pins with the eagle sitting up on any rate. Praise God. And I was sharing with them about that vision and enlargement. Well, about that time, you know, our church had started, you know, more members coming in. You all remember that? Amen. And then during that year, about half on one Sunday have not been back. And it was a good word. It was on tithing and giving. Praise God. Hallelujah. But what happens is people, for the word's sake, the enemy comes. Amen? Now, because that happened, you know, I still speak life because I know what God showed me. I know what he said. And so you can't be moved even by what your eyes see or your ears hear. People, you know, are moved by the lust of other things, cares of this world. Well, I've got to work on Sunday. I've got this. I got that. I'm too busy. You know, all that's in the Word of God. So they all have reasons why. But we've got to make up our minds. Lord, we're going to do it your way. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14 quickly. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14. When you found it. You say amen. Praise God. I'm going to be reading verses 27 to 31. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27-31. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all, say all, prophesy, do what? One by one, and that all may learn and all may be comforted. Amen. Now, God wants his people to prophesy. And the prophesying is the simple prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Sometimes prophecy might come forth in tongues. If it comes forth in tongues, then there must be someone to interpret. Why? Because the prophecy is to build up the church, to build up the people. If they don't understand what's being said, then nobody's built up. Amen? Nobody's being encouraged. Nobody's being comforted. When prophecies come forth, say, for example, if it's not in tongues, then it's going to be in the native language. So here it would be in what? English, right? Now, when you speak tongues, you know, it could be any language. It could be a language dialect like you've heard before, like Spanish or French or something, or it could be that you haven't. But there must be an interpreter present. And then the word is saying here that, you speak by two or three, and then you stop. So if one person prophesies, then in tongues, somebody should interpret. Second person prophesies, somebody interpret. Third person, then after that, you know, no more. You can also grieve the Holy Spirit. And God does not want us. It talks about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. There have been times, and I've been in places where this has happened, and it's happened here too. There's been a prophecy that has come forth, and somebody sits on it, the interpretation. But, you know, probably because of fear that they might not get it right. But God wants you to go forth. And God's the one who's going to get it right anyway. It's not coming from the head. It's coming from the Holy Spirit, God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So that, clear understanding on that. If we are singing and ministering to the Lord in tongues, I mean, that's for God. That's not for man. Amen. It talks about that too. Praise God. So we can sing in the understanding. We can sing in the spirit, Paul said. We choose to. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's for God. Praise God. So there is no need for an interpreter. Amen. So keep in mind, the prophecy primarily is for edification, exhortation, and for comfort. We're going to look briefly at women in ministry. Praise God. There is much question and debate about women being in the ministry. In some churches, it's not allowed, period. In most churches, they don't have a problem with a woman being an evangelist or a teacher of Sunday school. And some churches, even a pastor. Other churches, they don't allow them to be pastors either. Now, we go to the Word of God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus had no problems with women in ministry. Amen. And neither did Paul. You know, there are a few scriptures. Paul wrote most of the epistles, and they're really taken out of context of what was going on in the culture and even some of the translations and so forth. But we're going to look, and we're going to see that Paul was not a double-minded man. And so we're going to see how he had co-workers with him and that there were pastors and even an apostle, woman apostle. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. And so we've seen it, you know, here, Paul, this is Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You know, he says all may prophesy. Now that includes men, women, and children. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Amen. Jesus loved women. And the Old Testament is a pattern that speaks to the new, that points to the new. So we see women in the Old Testament that were in ministry, and we're going to look at some in the New Testament that were in ministry too. Amen. And just to mention a few, and we're not going to look at all of them, but we are going to look at maybe two. Most of you are familiar with Miriam. Miriam was Moses' sister, and she was a prophetess. There is no office of prophetess. It's the office of prophet. But in the Old Testament, we see primarily that they're referred to as prophetesses, but their office of prophet. So she was in the office of prophet, praise God, a prophetess. And then there was Isaiah's wife that's referred to. She was a prophetess as well. Most of you are familiar with Deborah. Deborah was a woman that was a prophet or prophetess of God. And she was also a judge. And it's believed that there were millions and millions of Jews or Israelites. And God saw fit to have her to be in charge or over all of these people, males, females, and children. And she was married, because it says so in the Word of God. She was married, but God chose her to be the one. And she not only was the, and a judge would be like today, would be maybe like a president. Or you can even say that she, you know, was also like a pastor. But it says specifically that she was a judge and a prophetess. Amen? Praise God. Now, she was a military warrior as well. And she flowed in the gifts of the Spirit in the office of prophet. And Barak, God had already spoken to him. This is the word of knowledge in operation. And had already told Barak to go to war and fight their enemy. And God let Deborah know that was something that was going on in the present. So that was what? Word of knowledge, right? Praise God. And so when he came, she told him what God said. That was the word of knowledge in operation. But she also gave him a word of wisdom. She said, now, Barak, I'm paraphrasing, you got a choice. God's told you to go to battle and fight for our people. And if you don't do it, then the honor is going to go to another woman. That was the word of wisdom in operation, telling him if he had a choice, either not to go or to go. He said, well, I'll go, but you're going to have to go with me. He was fearful. So she went, and she said, well, you're not going to get the honor. Another woman's going to get the honor. A woman's going to get the honor. So that was the word of wisdom in operation. Amen? Praise God. So that was one example. And that's in Judges. You can read that. Another example is Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H. and she too was a prophetess. Now, Huldah was a prophetess, and I'm giving you a lot of information, so you may want to get this tape. Huldah was a prophetess, but she was a prophetess in the office of prophet during the time of Jeremiah. We have the book of Jeremiah, right? He was a prophet, mighty prophet of God. Well, there was a king by the name of Josiah, and Josiah was a good king. He was a godly king. He was a king, you know, from his youth up. And Israel, the people, the Hebrew people had been so wicked. They had groves. They had places where they worshiped idols and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And God was upset. Well, when King Josiah came to be king, he tore all those things down. He cleaned up the land and he did things to please God. And God was pleased with him. How many know that God's pleased with us when we choose to do things God's way? Amen. Sometimes it may not be comfortable. Most time it's not comfortable to the flesh. But even though it's not comfortable to the flesh, you know, God is pleased when we make the choice to go in his direction all the time. And we have a peace, too, when we do. Amen. Praise God. Well, the book, as they, you know, of the covenant was found of Moses, which was the law and so forth. And the priest took it to the king and read it to him. And the king was so upset because he realized, you know, just how bad the people, you know, and wicked the people had been in sin and had not kept God's command. And he tore his clothes and he said, go to the prophetess, go to Huldah and find out from her what God is saying. Now, remember, Jeremiah was a contemporary. He didn't go to, he didn't send for Jeremiah, but he went to Huldah. And Huldah was in the college. And in the Bible, it talks about there was College of Prophets, too. It doesn't say this was a College of Prophets. That was where she lived. And he went there, and then she prophesied and told the king that, yes, the people had been so wicked, the judgment was coming. Many of the prophets, like Jeremiah and Isaiah and, you know, just so many, many, gave judgment. Now, a prophet that gives judgment, they don't give it out of their head, but they give it because it's what God's told them to say. And they fear being obedient to God, regardless of who receives it or who doesn't. Now, just because they say it doesn't mean it's going to happen just like that. Sometimes it does. Many times it doesn't. So here she said, yes, God is sending judgment on the people, her people too. But because, and I'm paraphrasing, but because you've been such a good king and you've done what God would have you to do, you're not going to see the judgment that's going to come on our nation, that you will die in peace. Now, what happened was Josiah continued to be a good king, but there was a king that came out from Egypt and he went to battle. And see, this is why it's so important for us to seek God, spend time with God, and to do things God's way. And this king said, okay, don't come to battle. Don't meddle with what God, what I'm doing, because God is with me. But he went anyway, and he was slain or killed in battle. Now you say, well, does that mean that Huldah wasn't a prophetess? She got things wrong when she said he was going to die in peace? No. She was a true prophetess of God. And she told him God's best, but see, he missed it. He went somewhere where he wasn't supposed to. Amen? Praise God. Let's take a look at it quickly. Turn to 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We're not going to read it all. I encourage you to read it later, but we're going to look at a couple of the verses. Amen. How many love God's word? Amen. Praise God. 2 Chronicles 34. When you found it, can you say amen again? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me see. I'm going to read verse 14, and then we're going to jump over to 21. Everybody at 2 Chronicles 34. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now let's jump over to verse 19. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. Moving down to 21. And this is what the king said, go inquire of the Lord for me, are for them that are left in Israel and in Judea concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah. Who did they go to? Huldah the prophetess, the wife, see, she was married to Shalom, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hashareth, keeper of the wardrobe. So her husband's grandfather reads like was the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. Where did she live? And they spake to her that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, talking about tell the king, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods. And that's why God says we're not to have any idol gods before us. That could be your car, your job, your child, your wife, anything that's going to cause you to mess up serving God. And have burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. Now look down verse 28. This is, she's continuing to prophesy. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thy eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and unto the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again, and the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, now, so she gave the prophecy, right? But he did get killed in battle. He did get killed in battle. Did not mean that she didn't give the word of the Lord, because she did. She was a true prophetess of God, and she spoke the truth. But he, you know, did not, you know, he made a mistake. Let's put it like that. He made a mistake. And look at 2 Chronicles 35. Everybody there? Look at verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Shar-Shemesh by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, sent ambassadors to the king, saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee, in other words, stop thee from meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not. So he was killed. Let's look at verse 22. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself, that he might fight with him and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And so he was killed, and he died. Now look at verse 25. So you know Jeremiah was there, or contemporary. And Jeremiah, this is after he died, lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the lamentation. There's a book of lamentations in the Bible. So we see, who did God send? Who did the king send to? Sent to Huldah, right? So I showed, you know, that because in the Old Testament, it points to the New. And so in the Old Testament, we see that God used women in ministry. Everybody see that? Amen. Now we're going to look at some in the New Testament. Ready? Amen. Hallelujah. This should really encourage the men and the women. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But I know you all know that here. Amen. You know, and I thank God for my husband, you know, because he has no problem. You all know that with me, God calling me to be apostle. He knows that's where the anointing is on my life, as well as pastor. Amen. And office of prophet, well, fivefold ministry, really. You know, but all men are not like that. And not only all men, but all women aren't like that. And it has to do with not rightly dividing the word and wrong teaching. But we still love the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. We're one in the body. Praise God. Turn to Luke. We're just about finished this morning. Luke, and we've gone a little bit longer, but it's good word. Amen? Luke 8. You found it? He said amen. Jesus loved women. I mean, he did not make a distinction between men or women, praise God. And we see even during Jesus' day, there were many men that treated women as second-class citizens. And Jesus never did. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, who was with him? Certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits of infirmity, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, or demons, there's only one devil, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many other, which, talking about many other men, women, which ministered unto him of their substance, their possessions, and different things. Praise God. There was a woman, most of you know this, the woman with the alabaster box. She was a sinner woman. And everybody knew of her reputation. But she came to Jesus with her very best. You know, I've read that that was worth like a year's wage. And she came to Jesus, you know, crying, and her tears were washing his feet, and she poured the alabaster, this expensive ointment, on Jesus' head. He was in a Pharisee's house. And she dried his feet with her hair, and they, you know, were really upset. Said, well, if he were a prophet of God, he'd know who she was. He wouldn't let her be doing this. No, that was the heart of Jesus. Amen? He didn't condone sin, but he would forgive sin when somebody would repent. Amen. He's the same Jesus today. Amen. Amen. You know, so that's what God wants us to realize, you know, that we are to be like him. No, we don't love sin, but we do love the individual. And we pray, and we, you know, we minister, and I know you do here, you know, in love with the heart of God. Amen. If you want to read that, we're not going to take time this morning. It's in Luke 7, 36 and 50. And Jesus corrects the Pharisees and said, you know, here, this woman has done this to me. You didn't give me any water for my feet. You didn't, you know, kiss me. Here she is kissing my feet. And here I'm in your house. You haven't done any of these things. So, you know, you can read that later. On Pentecost, and we read scripture today, God said that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And on Pentecost, Jesus' mother was present. Is she a woman? Is she not a woman? Amen. With other women. And so the spirit came not only just on the men, but on the women too. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. You know, and to move in the way that Jesus desires all of us to move. Jesus, well, let's look at it. And, you know, for those that talk about what prophesying isn't from today, it's just not true. It is for today. All of the gifts are for today. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts and just look at verse 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. This scripture was read today. But this is when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you read a little bit further, you see that Mary was there and, you know, and all that would that happened. Praise God. But verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So Joel, hundreds of years before, it prophesied of it. And here we see it. And it shall come to pass in the last day. How many know we're in the last of the last days now? The last days didn't stop on Pentecost. They're continuing. Amen. We're in the last of last days. And last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all, say all, flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall what? Did it just say just on the sons? What does the word say here? Sons and daughters shall do what? Did it say it's going to stop this day and no more? No. And your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18, and the scripture's in your bulletin. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, on who? Amen. So that's male and female. I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall do what? Prophecy. So prophesying is for today. It's a very needful gift. You know, somebody could come in here that's on the brink of, and I pray not ever, but that's on the brink of going home committing suicide. And God could give you, you don't know. Most times, sometimes he might let you know, but most times you don't know. And he may give you, tell you to go over and, you know, and just, and you just, oh, sometimes you'll know what to say. Most times you don't. You might give that person a hug and God will give you some encouraging words to tell that person, you know, God loves you. He hadn't forgotten about you. And yeah, your husband left, but your God said he's your husband now and he'll never leave you. That's just an example. Amen. And that may be, make the difference between that person living and not living. Amen. Because he loves all with an everlasting love, all of his people. Amen. Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory. So prophesying is for today. Now, during Paul's day, because this is just a few scriptures that are taken out of context, but during Paul's day, and he was not a double-minded man by any means, praise God, there was a man by the name of Nero. If you are a history person, you probably heard him, but this man was so wicked. And he married a Jewish woman. And during this time, remember, Jews are becoming Christians. Many of them are accepting Jesus as their Savior. Today we call them Messianic Jews. He hated the Messianic Jews. The Jews had favor, but the Christians did not. So what he would do, he did horrible things. Like he would make torches out of them and set them on fire while they would have their parties or whatever. I mean, and other things that I won't even say because children. But that was what his mindset was, and that was what he did. So, you know, scripture where Paul tells the women about how to dress and so forth and so on. How do you think they recognize Christians? I mean, you know, the Jews looked alike for the most part. So how could they identify if somebody was a Christian? By the women. Because the women, the Christian women, had gained a new freedom and a new status, if you will. They began to know who they were in Christ Jesus. You know, so they would preach openly and they would, you know, started dressing differently and so forth and so on. So Paul, you know, another way of saying, well, you know, cool it a little bit. You don't want to get caught. You know, so that was what was going on during this time period. They suffered much, much persecution. But the women were preachers. They were being used mightily by God. And we're going to look at a few of them right now. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the Word of God, I want you to turn to Romans quickly. I'm going to get ready to close out. Romans 16. Acts, Romans. And when you found it, can you say amen? Okay, we're just going to look at a couple of scriptures here. And this is Paul speaking, and I'm going to start at verse 1 and go down to verse 7, Romans 6, chapter 16. And this is Paul. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, she was a minister of the gospel, which is a servant of the church, which is at Censura, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatever business she have need of you. For she has been a succorer of many and myself also. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Now, what Paul was saying was, this woman is a woman in the ministry that's been laboring with him, that has been helping him in the ministry. And she's a businesswoman too. She's traveling. And he's saying, you know, when she gets there, I want you to help her. Just like many times, say, for example, you know, if Pastor Lewis and I are going to go abroad or something, we have a letter that comes to precede us, to prepare the way. Amen? Praise God. You know, even if somebody was coming here that we didn't know, there possibly there would be a letter there. Now, they wouldn't have to ask us to help, you know, and they may say, help do such and such. So this is what he's saying, you know, preparing the way for this minister of the gospel that has been helping him in the ministry. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Notice that Priscilla's name is first. That's the female. Now, during that day, that was just not a thing that was done in that culture. The wife's name didn't go before the male's, but God doesn't make any mistakes, which lets you know that the wife was preeminent. Doesn't mean that she was any more important than the husband, but in the ministry for what was going on. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. In other words, they're laborers in the word of God, laborers in the ministry as well, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So Paul is, you know, just saying, you know, they've been such a blessing in the ministry. It, you know, helpers to me as well in the ministry. Amen. And they had a church in their house. Likewise, greet the church that is in their home. So they were pastors, pastoring a church in their home. Salute my well-beloved Ephrenatus, who is the first fruits of Archaea unto Christ. Salute Andronicus and Juno. Now these are prophets, and the Juno is a woman. My kinsmen, they were also kinsmen of some way to Paul related, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So here Paul is saying, you know, the Andronica, that's the man, and the way you know it's the man is because of the gender. And some, and plus what his name means, I don't know if it means man. I don't want to say man of God, but it has something to do with man. But also in some languages, you can tell whether it's male or female gender by the way the language is written. How many know that? Amen. So this, you know that he is the man and she is the woman, and they are both apostles. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so this is just a few examples, you know, just right here in the first seven verses of Paul speaking of women that are in the ministry. We've seen in the Old Testament those that are in the ministry. Amen. Jesus said, you know, through Paul, there is in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female. We are one in him. And what he means by that, in the spiritual realm, yes, we're, you know, in gender we are, but in the spiritual realm, God doesn't make that difference. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But God, you know, wants us to realize that prophecy is for today, and that all may prophesy. We saw it in the word of God. Amen. And that he wants his people to flow in all the gifts of the Spirit. And we're primarily focusing on prophecy today, praise God. But if you receive a word from a true man or woman of God, don't let the enemy take that word out of your heart. Amen. You go forward in God. God bless you. Praise God. Father, we love you.